This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go, man. I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Want to see your loan options, adjust payments and closing costs online in real time? Well, Rocket can. Big final hour of the show here. Charles Davis, NFL on CBS, is going to join us coming up in about 20 minutes from now. But last night in the NBA playoffs, the Denver Nuggets come back from down 3-1 for the second series in a row, and this time take out one of the NBA Finals favorites, Kawhi and Paul George, go home before the conference finals. The Nuggets, led by 40 points behind Jamal Murray, came back from down again in this game and blitzed right through the Clippers late third and the fourth quarter. And the Clippers were a disaster in the fourth. And the Nuggets have such guts and such heart. And Jamal Murray, such a baller. And Nikola Jokic continues to be one of the best big men, if not the best all-around big man in basketball. And the Nuggets have such a bright future with those two guys as their centerpieces. What an amazing comeback for the Nuggets. Bravo for Denver. But what a puke series again for the Clippers. And as much as we all respect Doc Rivers from a coaching standpoint, the guy has won an NBA championship in Boston with the Celtics, been a very good coach for a very long time. He now has 3-3-1 gags on his resume. Three of them. 3-3-1 gags, which are unacceptable for anybody to have one of, let alone three of them. And last night, more of the same from Paul George. And I don't want to just make it about Paul George because the Clippers' woes go deeper than just this. But Paul George wants to convince everybody that he's the running mate to Kawhi. He's playoff Paul. He's a legit number one or number two on a championship team. And the guy goes 4-for-16 in a game seven and 0-for-6 in the fourth quarter, including 0-for-5 from beyond three-point range. Give me a break. And it's Paul George who's chirping about Portland going home early. And then last night, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum just lit up Twitter laughing at the Clippers. Laughing. The Clippers like to talk, but they don't back it up. Again, and they have mortgaged the future and the franchise for Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And I wonder how they feel today about not even getting to the conference finals. Egads for the Clippers. Another choke job. For the Eastern Conference Finals, game one last night, what a night for the Heat, specifically Jimmy Butler. They come roaring back from down 14 points in the fourth quarter. The first time in 93 games that the Celtics had a 12-point lead or more in the fourth and lost it. They were 92-0, and they choked it last night. Why? Because Jimmy Butler will not let that team go. He won't let that team die. He won't let that team not believe. And Butler is combustible, and he's volatile, and sometimes he's a little kooky and really into Jimmy Butler being Jimmy Butler. But you know what ended up happening last night? Butler is clearly the heartbeat of that Heat team. Very obviously. He changed everything when he got there. And after the game, he's interviewed post-game by the sideline reporter. And she asks him what he thought about Bam Adebayo's unbelievable block on Jason Tatum to seal the game late in the overtime. And Jimmy Butler says with a straight face, he's the heart and soul of our team. Wow. I know Butler can be criticized for a lot of things, fighting with management, fighting with coaches, being a bad teammate, you know, all of these things. But in Miami, he's been great. And last night, where he could take a victory lap, he says, Bam is our heart and soul. Didn't have to say not me, just said somebody else was. And Butler's performance continues to be the next level type of performance that the Heat needed to get to the next level, or any team does. Mr. Clutch. Butler, when they needed big buckets down the stretch, got almost every one of them. And to save the game in regulation and another big bucket and one in overtime, Butler just comes through every time you need that basket late in the game. And people ask, well, who's it going to be? And it's a young team. Bam, Tyler Hero. These are young players, Duncan Robinson. And what Jimmy Butler did in Philadelphia is what he's doing now. He's the adult. He's like, I'm going to be the one because I got this. And he was doing it last year with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, who were scared bleepless of final shots and late game crunch time situations. And Butler's like, it's mine. And now he's doing it in Miami. And Mr. Clutch does it again last night as the Heat take a dramatic game one victory in OT. And Bam's block is something special. Rarely do you ever see a block like that seal a game. You could see a block coming from the side of a jump shooter on a three-pointer. Rarely do you see a block on a potential dunk. But as Eric Spoelstra said, most guys don't even try to block that because they don't want to be posterized. They don't want to be on the highlight being jammed over, so most won't even try to block that. Bam goes up for the block and gets it and seals the win. Awesome. We ended last hour talking about Adam Gase, Le'Veon Bell, and this broken Jets relationship yet again. Le'Veon Bell signed before last season, big-time free agent contract. And now he's on the injured list. He's going to miss a few weeks. Gase says he admits he wishes he didn't play him as much on Sunday when he should have been resting Le'Veon Bell. But remember that they weren't on the same page when it came to Le'Veon Bell's injury in training camp. The whole thing is bizarre. So, Mraz, let's go through the worst Jets free agent signings ever and see if Le'Veon Bell can make the list. Cue the music. All right, so let's start here, Mraz. How about let's go all the way back to 1996 and Neil O'Donnell. Remember, he was the quarterback of the Steelers in the Super Bowl. He threw the pick six to Larry Brown. I think he threw two pick sixes, or at least two awful interceptions to Larry Brown in that game. Brown ends up being the MVP, and Neil O'Donnell is just a joke, a punchline. The Steelers are like, you just took us to the Super Bowl, but we're not interested in bringing you back. We're going to start Cordell now. And the Jets are like, we'll give you all the money. And they gave Neil O'Donnell $35 million over 5 years, which at that time was a lot of cash. And O'Donnell was a disaster. He's got to be on the Mount Rushmore of Jets busts.
Yeah, specifically because it's the quarterback position and the never-ending quest to replace Joe Namath as a franchise quarterback for the Jets. They thought they were so slick in getting a Super Bowl starting quarterback. Neil O'Donnell, in many ways, was kind of Rex Grossman before Rex Grossman was Rex Grossman. Only Rex Grossman never got the salary that Neil O'Donnell got to go play quarterback for the Jets.
And Steelers fans still watch highlights of Super Bowl 30 and go, what the hell was Neil O'Donnell looking at? It's almost like he was throwing the game. It's like he had money on the Cowboys because the passes are to nowhere except only where Larry Brown could pick them off. Who do you got to this Mount Rushmore of Jets busted free agent signings?
Well, I know it's very recent, and I know that this might raise some eyebrows, but Tremaine Johnson, who was just cut just a couple, I guess, earlier. Tremaine Johnson was brought in as a star corner from the Rams. I mean, there was a time where the Rams were building that defense before Sean McVay got there, and it was Janoris Jenkins and Tremaine Johnson, and you wondered if they had the best cornerback tandem in football. And Tremaine Johnson was supposed to be, okay, well, we don't have Revis anymore. This is going to be an elite, unbelievable talent at corner, and basically the guy could only get on the field in dime packages if he wasn't getting burnt left and right. Tremaine Johnson is looked at as a terrible corner now, but at the time he was brought in as a signing, he was thought to be, oh, okay, maybe we're getting a top five corner in the NFL here, and we're going to be back to shutting it down like we did with Revis.
They gave him 5 years, $72 million. Tremaine Johnson was a disaster. This name popped up on my list, and I don't even remember him. Justin McCarron's? This guy got a 7 year, $30 million deal at wide receiver from the Jets. Who the hell is Justin McCarron's?
I don't know. And they also had to give him a second round pick. They gave the Titans that.
Who is this guy?
I mean, honestly, have you ever looked at the Tennessee Titans and said, I have to have that wide receiver on that team? I mean, that's not a team that you look at and you think they're unbelievably loaded at wide receiver. But I'm with you. I don't even remember Justin McCarron. Like, it doesn't even ring a bell with me that he was a force in the NFL at any point, even with the Titans. Imagine giving up a second round pick for him and then paying him.
He caught 47 passes for 800 yards in 03 with the Titans. The Jets gave him a 7 year deal, and he caught 700 yards worth of passes 2 years, and then just kind of faded away. I mean, that's a disaster. Also, if we're talking about wide receivers, do we put Santonio Holmes on that list?
You have to. You have to. That's the biggest one. That's a Super Bowl MVP. That is a dynamic. I mean, this could be one of the great wide receivers in the game for the next 5 years when the Jets get him. And basically, by year two, he was quitting on the field in Miami and wanted no part of being a part of the team. And never was the player he was when he won the Super Bowl in Pittsburgh. That's an unmitigated disaster. That was a Jet team, remember, with Rex Ryan. They were supposed to be on the come, back-to-back AFC title games. They're going to keep this thing moving forward. Braylon Edwards on the way out. Antonio Holmes comes in and he just stinks.
They gave him $45 million over 5 years. And I think they traded for him on the original Steelers contract and he was fine in 09. But then once he got the money, he was just a complete and utter disaster. Who else you got at this Mount Rushmore?
Well, back to the Justin McCarron's day. Who knew the Jets were looking to do like the best 1-2 punch at wide receiver at the time under Herman Edwards? They got Curtis Conway. And I remember Curtis Conway. Oh. Because he was a pretty big deal when he was with the Chargers, I believe. And I remember the Jets getting him and going, and I even thought at the time when I was younger, what the heck did I know? Man, this is a guy I'm jealous to have. Maybe he's going to be this legit weapon, which is weird that I don't remember the McCarron situation. He ended up catching 46 passes and 2 touchdowns, then was so ineffective, Herm Edwards completely benched the guy. Oh. So that was another one where the Jets spent some money thinking, we're going to have this elite offense we're building around with Herm Edwards. Woof.
20 years ago, Damian Robinson was a good defensive player from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was one of the best defenses in football. The Jets signed into a big contract, as you might imagine. It immediately blew up in their face. He carried a semi-automatic firearm to the practice facility and then also got into a massive brawl. Damian Robinson definitely on the Mount Rushmore of busted draft free agents or drafted free agents for the Jets.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, D.A., one more that keeps coming up in every list. When they brought Revis back after leaving for Tampa in New England, and he basically had no interest in tackling. A lot of business decisions, and he was there just to keep selling Jet number 24 jerseys.
So sad. So Le'Veon Bell has that star-studded lineup to compete with for the worst free agent signings ever in Jets franchise history. Last hour, we were talking about somehow we got on the Declaration of Independence and who had signed the Declaration of Independence because Mraz did not think that St. Louis had been a city since the late 1700s because nobody from St. Louis had signed the Declaration of Independence. And so, Mraz, I'd like to go through the signers of the Declaration of Independence with you. Are you ready for this?
I mean, I'm not, because in typical DA Show fashion, you knew not to prep me and I had no idea we were doing this. So here we go.
No, I'm just wondering if you would have known any of these names. Now, you did get a couple of them, right?
You said I couldn't name more than two, and I gave you three and their states, which honestly, for my education background, is really good.
There are 56 of them. Which were the ones that you got?
I got John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, both presidents, both died the same day, I believe, on July 4th, and I got Ben Franklin. Oh, and I got John Hancock, so I had four. That's a four spot.
Okay. Cue the music. I want to go over the signers of the Declaration of Independence. From Connecticut, Samuel Huntington, Roger Sherman, Oliver Wolcott. And you know how you can't trust any guy that's got two first names? William Williams.
Wow, Connecticut really didn't... why did we allow Connecticut in if that was the All-Star team they brought to sign this thing?
Delaware brings to the table Thomas McKean, George Reed, and Caesar Rodney.
Wow, sounds like the Islanders starting lineup list.
I thought Caesar Rodney was a Brewers closer in the 90s.
It was the Joker.
Georgia brought to the table Button Gwinnett. First name, Button.
I like that.
Lyman Hall and George Walton.
I remember George Walton, Sonny. He was like number three on that list.
Okay. Maryland brings to the table their all-star squad of Charles Carroll, Samuel Chase, William Paca, and Thomas Stone.
Wow. Honestly, a lot of these guys should be embarrassed that we don't remember them. I mean, they signed the Declaration of Independence, and they're basically forgettable. More people know Pete the Body Bellotti than they know Thomas Stone.
That's something.
Now, let me tell you, I think Massachusetts brings to the table the best all-star squad. They've got Elbridge Gerry, but other than that, I think you have multiple all-stars here. Not surprisingly, kind of like the Boston sports dominance, they bring to the table John Adams, John Hancock, Robert Payne, and Samuel Adams, the beer guy.
Mike, that is better than Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, and Kendrick Perkins, and even Rajon Rondo. That's an unbelievable lineup to come in. So, I can't believe the beer guy got in. So, he doubled, he did the beer, and he did the declaration. He was into politics. Like, honestly, you want to talk about me not having work ethic? Think about this. This guy's brewing things and forcing the issue on independencing from Britain.
Independencing. I don't know if Samuel Adams actually made beer. Like, he's not the creator of Sam Adams Ale. I wonder if he was just used as their brand. I don't think he was actually a brewmaker. I'd have to go back and check.
I just assume, like you know, Arnold Palmer's heavily invested in the iced tea lemonades. I assumed Sam Adams was invested in that beer.
From 300 years ago. In New Hampshire, Josiah Bartlett, Matthew Thornton, and William Whipple. New Jersey brings to the table former offensive coordinator at Rutgers, Abraham Clark, John Hart, Francis Hopkinson, Richard Stockton, and John Witherspoon.
Dick Stockton was signed the Declaration of Independence. I mean, that is a sign that Fox has held on to him way too long.
Yeah, back in the 1700s, he was known as Richard. Now it's just Dick. In New York, former Niners fullback William Floyd, Francis Lewis, Philip Livingston, and Lewis Morris. Now, I always think about you, Mraz, when I drive out to your house because there's a parkway called William Floyd Parkway.
Yes.
And I always assume that you think it's the former Niners fullback.
I very much do, and I only relate to that parkway because it was the last known Roy Rogers on Long Island. It was right on the William Floyd Parkway, so that's how I target it.
Actually, a guy from New York that signed the Declaration of Independence. From North Carolina, Joseph Hughes, William Hooper, and John Penn. There you go. There's your Penn. You thought it was William Penn. It's the other Penn.
A lot of Penns.
Pennsylvania, George Clymer, Robert Morris, yes, from the university, John Morton, George Ross, and your very own Benjamin Franklin, which you know you're excited about.
Right.
Also, they had a lot of guys. They brought Benjamin Rush, James Smith, George Taylor, and James Wilson as well. I think it was signed in Philadelphia, if I'm not mistaken, so that's probably why there's a lot of Pennsylvania people. South Carolina, Thomas Hayward, Thomas Lynch, Arthur Middleton, and Edward Rutledge. Rhode Island brings William Ellery and Stephen Hopkins. Virginia brings Carter Braxton, not Carter Blackburn, Benjamin Harrison, Thomas Jefferson, this is a good list, Francis Lightfoot Lee, who was taking up the parking spot after surfing from Pete the Body Bellotti, Richard Henry Lee, his brother, Thomas Nelson, and George White. Those are your signers of the Declaration of Independence.
Overall, an uninspiring list, DA. Very uninspiring to get our independence from those guys.
What'd they ever do? When we come back, Charles Davis is going to join us from the NFL on CBS. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24-7.
You're so funny.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Free line, 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. What are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. The DA Show is available in podcast form. If you ever miss anything or want to hear it again or listen on your own time, check us out on your favorite podcast platform. Just search The DA Show. And when you find us, subscribe. You can rate and review us to help others find it easier. But essentially, if you ever want to catch full episodes, full hours, zoom ahead or zoom back to what you want to listen to, you can do so. Or the best of every single day is available there as well, condensed to about a one-hour version of the best of the DA Show every day in podcast form. AB has our headline this morning. Andrew Bogus, we've got news breaking from the Big Ten this morning. Sounds like we're going to have Big Ten football next month.
It is now official, DA. Big Ten football is coming back. Presidents and chancellors voting to start their season the weekend of October 23rd and 24th. It'll end with a conference title game on December 19th. Anyone that'll be on the field for a practice and or game will be tested for COVID-19 beforehand. Players that test positive will go through extensive cardiac screening because of the conference's concern with myocarditis. Again, this is now all official, all confirmed Big Ten football back a little more than a month from now. Yesterday was Nuggets head coach Michael Malone's 49th birthday. Nikola Jokic got him something.
Before the game, I told him, Coach, I'm going to give you have a really good present. I'm going to get you home, or I'm going to get you back to the conference.
Malone can't go home just yet because Jokic instead gave him a Game 7 win. 16 points, 22 rebounds, and 13 assists for Jokic. Jamal Murray scored 40. Denver completing its second consecutive 3-1 comeback. They were down 12 in the first half of Game 7 last night, but then outscored the Clippers by 27 in the second half to win 104-89. The Nuggets, the third team in our four major leagues with two 3-1 rallies in the same postseason. The Clippers got just 24 combined points, 10 for 38 shooting from Kawhi and Paul George. The franchise has still never been in the conference final. The Celtics blew a 14-point fourth quarter lead in Game 1 of the East Finals with the Heat. They got themselves into overtime, but were down 2 in the final seconds.
Kemba moving to his left. Tatum switches to the right hand. Dribble drives past Butler. Gets in deep. Blocked at the rim by Bam Adebayo.
Sean Grandy, Celtics radio. Bam blocking Jason Tatum's tying dunk. Then hit a free throw. Then Tatum just missed a three at the buzzer. So Miami held on. 117-114. Goran Dragic led them with 29. The Tampa Bay Lightning did not win the East on ice last night. A 2-1 double OT loss to the Islanders on a goal from Jordan Richard Henry Eberle. As you just laid out, Richard Henry Lee is one of the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. The baseball playoffs are going inside. You heard all about those four bubbles in Arlington, Houston, LA, and San Diego. It certainly seems like the Yankees will be there and be feeling good.
The pitch to DJ is swung on and a high fly to left. And that ball is gone into the left field seats. He supplied his own power. He swung at whatever it was and hit it in the left field seats. Espinales, a big smile on his face.
John Sterling, Susan Waldman on Yankees Radio. Toronto infielder Santiago Espinal was pitching because it was 19-3 Yankees when DJ LeMahieu went deep off a 48.7 mile per hour something. That is the slowest pitch hit for a homer since StatCast started in 2008.
That's a good stat, too. Wow, you're peppering us with good analytics today. I like this, folks.
Good jokes, too.
Reading helps. Thanks, Pete. The Yanks won 26. Yeah, it's a six-game win streak. Listen, I can bounce back, right? I'm like the Nuggets.
Very obvious.
I got down on Monday. Here we come.
Yeah, it was a big 0-2, and now you're back.
The Yanks jumped the Blue Jays for second in the AL East. The Dodgers snapped the Padres' eight-game run, 3-1 in San Diego. The Brewers beat up the Cardinals 18-3. Atlanta, 5-1 win in Baltimore. And the White Sox topped the Twins 6-2. Chicago leads Minnesota by three games atop the AL Central. And one last nugget for you. Mentioned all morning, the Phoenix Mercury won at the buzzer last night to advance in the WNBA playoffs, 85-84 over the Washington Mystics. The game-winning shot at the buzzer hit by Shea Petty. She was on Washington to start this season. They cut her. She signs with the Mercury, hits this shot last night, and even more than that, she was with Washington last season as well, first as a player, then as a video assistant. They kept her around because they liked her so much, didn't need her as a player,
wow,
used her off the court, and now this year, back on the floor, somebody else, game-winning three against them last night.
She was a video coordinator and then got back onto the floor?
She was a 30-year-old rookie last year, was a bottom-of-the-roster player. They didn't need her anymore, so they said, we love you, stick around, coach, breakdown video. She said, okay. This year was back on their roster. They cut her. She went to Phoenix, and then she beat them with a three last night.
Oh, that is awesome. That is so awesome. Very cool. Very, very cool. By the way, we were talking about the Nuggets advancing to the conference finals for the first time since Carmelo was there. Last time they were in the Western Conference Finals was 2009, where they lost to the Lakers in six. Before that, they had gone in the mid-80s, the Alex English, Kiki Vandeweghe years. In 1985, they had lost to the Lakers as well in five games. Before that, you got to go back to the 70s. They lost the Western Conference Finals to the Supersonics in six in 78. And then before that, you got to go back to the Dr. J years of the ABA, where they made the ABA Finals and lost to those Dr. J Nets. But that's your history of the Nuggets getting this far. So pretty amazing accomplishment for Denver, especially coming back from down 3-1. Time to talk football this morning here on the DA Show. Coming up on the NFL on CBS, you could hear our next guest call Giants and Bears on Sunday with Ian Eagle and Evan Washburn. Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern time on CBS. Super excited to hear this booth because Ian's one of the best in the game. Evan's one of the best in the game. And our next guest is one of our favorites. He's also one of the best in the game. This is going to be a phenomenal booth. Joining us this morning on the show, our friend Charles Davis from the NFL on CBS. CD, good morning.
DA, it's great to hear your voice. Thank you so much for the very kind words. I'm going to have to jump my game up and try and keep pace with these guys. I had a great run with Kevin Burkhardt and the guys at Fox. He's phenomenal, just like Ian is, just like Evan is. I don't know that there's a luckier color analyst in the game to have the people that I've had standing next, that I've been able to stand next to. But real quick, before we start football, I love that history lesson on the Nuggets because you took me all the way back to my childhood.
Yeah,
you took me back to the Skywalker, David Thompson, right?
Yeah.
You took me back to, you know, Dan Issel.
Yeah.
Of course, people forget Dan Issel was a 2,000-point scorer at Kentucky.
Amazing.
This is how good Dan Issel was, and we'll get right to football. You want to know how good he was?
Yeah.
He played for the Baron, Adolph Rupp, and Rupp had a rule at the time that you couldn't get married and play for him. Dan Issel was so good that he got married and Rupp kept him on the team. That's how good Dan is. When you're scoring 2,000 points, all right, if you need to get married, go ahead.
Call the Dan Issel rule.
That's when you know you got game,
yeah,
right?
That's right.
When you can tell the Baron, well, Coach, I know you got a rule, but I'm going to get married.
Yeah, the Danielson exception.
Don't tell anyone about it, okay?
Charles Davis is our guest this morning on the show, and you're going to have Giants and Bears coming up on Sunday. Let's go back to the 19-play drive for the Giants on Monday night. Did you find that to be encouraging because they were able to piece together 19 plays against one of the best defenses in football, or discouraging because it ended in another interception slash turnover for a guy in Daniel Jones who's trying to correct that?
Yeah, it's really easy to sit on the fence because, as you pointed out so well, it's both, right? Encouraging that you hold the ball for 19 plays. You have the discipline this early in the season and the new regime. They're one of what I call the 6-week teams because no offseason, no OTAs, no preseason. They've essentially been on the grass working out on the field together for 6 weeks with a new head coaching staff, right? So they're one of those teams, and to show that discipline, yeah, that's really encouraging. But I definitely, unfortunately, lean to the, you can't make that error there. I know you still a second-year quarterback, first game of it. I get all that. They've got to see that growth. And it's coming. I'm a Daniel Jones fan. But, boy, that one hurt. You know, if you're in the Giants organization and the whole thing, that's where you want to see that next step start to be taken. And at worst, come out of it with three. At worst, after 19-play drive, to throw it in the end zone and pressure and nothing, that one hurt. Now, does that mean you know, that's the end of the season? Absolutely not. This kid's going to be a very good football player. But the turnovers, you go back to college, rookie year, and here we are in the first game of the year, and that one, 19-play drive, yeah, that one hurts big time, DA.
On the Bears side of the ledger, it was the tale of, I want to say two halves, but two games. It was like three quarters of one game and then one quarter of another game, where Mitchell Trubisky just caught fire in the fourth quarter, 21 unanswered points, and the Bears shocked the Lions on the road in Detroit. When you look at Mitchell Trubisky's film from Sunday, do you go, okay, yeah, the kid's getting it, or do you go, what? This is impossible to grade because it was like, you know, invasion of the body snatchers?
I love that. I'm looking for the pods now, right? We're the pods.
Yeah.
Okay. You have to. The question I came away with was, congratulations on that in the fourth quarter. Congratulations on reopening Club Dub in their celebration. But I've got to have the first three quarters. I got to have some consistency.
Yeah.
This cannot be the high wire act we're going to be on all year long. You remember when Tim Tebow was in the league, and, you know, he was a phenomenon, as we remember, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm willing to bet that if you go back and look at Tim's numbers after he became the starter at Denver, that first year when they went to the playoffs and won all those games late, I bet you somewhere around the neighborhood of 5 of 17 throwing up until he gets hot in the fourth quarter and they find a way to win. That means your defense has to keep it close, right? That means everything has to work around you to give you the chance to get hot. You can't do that for 16 weeks. The consistency has to start taking effect for Mitchell Trubisky. Encouraged by the comeback, no doubt, because that team didn't give up and they played awfully well. But you've got to give me something those first three quarters so that it doesn't have to be a massive comeback, because that's not going to work over 16 weeks. You and I both know that, DA.
Not going to work. Charles Davis joins us from the NFL on CBS. He's got Giants and Bears coming up at 1 p.m. Eastern time on CBS on Sunday. So, Browns, we have Baker Mayfield making more mistakes and Odell Beckham, who's only catching three passes, and Kevin Stefanski saying that we're going to have to get to the bottom of why it's not working between them. And you're around the game. You talk to coaches. You talk to players. I'm trying to figure this out myself from the outside.
Yeah.
What's your theory on what is going on between those guys?
I have no earthly idea, and I'm embarrassed to say that because I'm supposed to be an analyst. I'm supposed to know these things. It doesn't make sense on paper. It doesn't make sense intellectually, DA. These are two young guys who both want to win fiercely, who both can play at a really high level. You would think it would work. Now, here's the kicker to the whole thing. Three catches, 22 yards, right, were his final stats. But he was targeted 10 times. So it's not like they were sighing away. Now, the one thing that Ian and I have talked about during the game was they didn't target him early. And I'm always leery about a team that has Odell Beckham on it that doesn't get him involved early. You know what I mean? Like, you've got to keep him locked in with you.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get him going early and then it doesn't get going, and we saw traces of that in this ball game. You saw some body language, right? You saw, like, you know, even when he, you know, later on when he got up, remember that catch on the sideline that would look like a beautiful toe tap catch, and then we found out he stepped out of bounds? Where was his awareness of the sideline? You know? So is he locked in on this thing? Baker, I thought, yeah, he wasn't, you know, scintillating. I thought there were a lot of contested throws downfield too. Guys aren't separating downfield. Njoku made a great catch, and then he gets hurt. You know, Jarvis Landry looked good coming back off the hip. They ran the ball a little bit with authority, but the key play was 3rd and 2 near the end of the first half. Odell Beckham on a pivot route, a whip route. He's open. Baker actually put it on him, and Odell dropped it. And then Seibert missed the field goal, and Lamar takes him down in 41 seconds, and now he's a 24-6 game at the half. And that's all she wrote. So they didn't make the key plays at the key time. And I just don't understand how guys, to me, as similar as Baker and Odell Beckham are, aren't as in sync as you would think that they would be.
Biggest story, I think, coming out of week one was what happened to Tom Brady. And I want to spin it forward. You know Bruce Arians. You've covered Bruce Arians for many years, done many of his games, spoken to conversations with him off the air, etc. What do you think was the tactic behind Bruce Arians saying, now this is on Tom. We were prepared, and Tom made bad throws. Because you would think that there'd be some protection of an aging legend like Tom Brady.
Yeah, you would think so, but D.A., you know, the old, you shouldn't answer a question by asking a question, but I'm going to bring you into it because you're a keen observer and you've been around too. Are we really surprised that coming from B.A.?
No, yeah. Is that just kind of Bruce Arians' tactic?
That's a Bruce Arians thing. And when I say thing, Bruce is very blunt, very, 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 you know, straightforward. And I went back and read the quote in you know, his quotes in print. And, I, you know, reading them that way, they seemed a lot softer. And I don't mean like he was coddling him, but all he was saying was, we saw the Tom Brady we expect to see in practice. It didn't totally carry over to this game. I would expect in the next game he'll come back with more grit and determination. Doesn't seem so bad, does it? But when it's Tom Brady, anything that's not glowing and perfect, whoa, here we go. And, again, what's the Tampa Bay team in a lot of ways? They're one of those six-week teams, D.A. That's a lot of new pieces on the offensive side. Your quarterback leading it. I know the head coach is there, but he's never worked with him before. The offensive coordinator hadn't worked with him before. Gronk's there. Evans was kind of hurt playing. Godwin. Gronk's just getting started again. I wasn't surprised. And by the way, they were playing a team that's won the South 3 straight years and is really good again. I actually expected New Orleans to win. I think Tampa is going to be much better down the stretch than they are the early going, but I think their schedule is going to open up for them now where they get a chance to get on a little bit of a run.
Okay, so you didn't really think it was that big a deal that Bruce Arians said that about
Tom?
No,
I didn't think it was that big of a deal. No, okay. And here's the last reason why, D.A., because I'll guarantee you Bruce Arians and Tom have talked. You know, Bruce Arians, lack of communication is not going to be an issue with Bruce Arians. And by the way, has it ever been with Tom Brady? No.
No.
So if they went to a room and threw down, fine. If they went to a room and talked it out, fine. Heck, Bruce might have told him before the season, hey, big boy, just so you know, I'm going to have to coach this team through you. Okay? You have a lot of coaches who do that with their star, where you coach through the star, meaning if you jump him a little bit, everyone else is fair game as well. And you're sending messages sometimes through your star. And if your star knows what's going on and is in lockstep with you, you'll be okay. I think we love to have these stories, and I'm not saying it's not a story, but my suspicion is maybe if they win on Sunday against Carolina and get going, it melts away. Because I think Tom's going to be all right. I'm not too worried about him. I don't think age crept in. It wasn't that sort of a thing. He just didn't play his best game.
Yeah, I feel like I can relate to Bruce Arians. You know, my wife often ask me honest questions and I have to give an honest answer. And sometimes it's too honest. And I go, why can't I just filter this answer right now? But if you ask me a question, I'm going to be really, really honest. It's called over-communicating, Charles. Over-communicating.
Did you go Abe Lincoln there? Because you remember that old Abe Lincoln Geico commercial where Mrs. Lincoln comes rolling up to him and says, does this dress make me look fat? And you see Abe just agonizing. Because, you know, is Abe Lincoln really honest with?
Yeah, that's right. Abe Lincoln, Bruce Arians, and me getting into trouble because I just can't.
Get in trouble because you over-communicate.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. Coming up on Sunday, 1 p.m. Eastern on CBS, Ian Eagle, Charles Davis, Evan Washburn have Giants and Bears. CD, it's wonderful to have you part of the CBS family. Thanks so much for jumping on this morning. Can't wait to talk to you again, buddy.
Thanks a lot. And on the way out, D.A., go back to that Bruce Arians press conference, what he said about Tom, and then go look and see what he said about the left tackle, Donovan Smith. No one gave that any play at all, and he crushed it.
Good point.
No, it never even came up.
Good
Tom
point.
Brady is a different story.
That's right. It's so true.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
You're good.
Okay, you too. When we come back here on the show, Advanced Analytics. Brad Stevens, does he get a pass because he's friendly? The DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
The DA Show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
How about Mirage this morning trying to figure out who signed the Declaration of Independence? Here's your epic fail. Can you give me more than two of the names that signed the Declaration of Independence and then where they're from?
John Hancock, okay. Massachusetts.
Okay.
Thomas Jefferson, Virginia.
Okay.
Ben Franklin, Pennsylvania.
All right, all right.
Hi, my name is Benjamin Franklin. I was a writer, a diplomat, an inventor, and a statesman.
Wow.
Very nice. Now, I'm guessing there's another 20 guys that signed it. Do you think you could name where they were from and if they were from Missouri?
What about the guy who's on the Quaker Oats oatmeal can? Who's that?
That's Whitey Herzog.
Is that Quincy Adams? Who is that guy? That was one of the guys who signed the Declaration,
it's Quincy,
right?
Carter.
I'm serious. That was one of the guys that signed the Declaration.
Wilford Brimley.
Is his name Quaker?
Although I only went to school for 2 years.
That's Quincy Carter.
I know that that's one of the guys that signed the Declaration of Independence. I've eaten the oatmeal. I just don't know who it is.
No, I don't think the Quaker Oats guy is on the Declaration of Independence. No, I don't think that's right.
All right, I guess not. I don't know who that was. Maybe was that John Adams? You know, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, presidents died the same day. One of them, was he the Quaker? Somebody was the Quaker Oats guy.
The Declaration of Independence is finished.
Somebody was the Quaker Oats guy. Oh man, this is good. The Quaker Oats guy was John Quincy Adams. Oh, that's good. Oh man, that's good.
Who will be the first to sign? How about you, John Hancock?
John Quincy Adams, known as being President of the United States and the creator of Quaker Oats.
What a guy.
Multifaceted.
Oh, man.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Ask the Pros time brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Mirage, take it away on the read.
Yeah, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. DA, today's question is?
Question was from John in Boston. DA, who had the worst night last night, Brad Stevens or Doc Rivers? Our poll question was today, does Brad Stevens get a pass? Is he overrated because he's friendly? 66% said no. 66% defended Brad Stevens here, 33% said yes. I think that last night Doc Rivers had the worst night. I mean, look, you had a 3-1 series lead. Here is a game seven. You've got all of the eggs in your basket for this night, game seven. You must get to a Western Conference Finals for this year to be any type of success. And you gagged away three straight games, and then in the fourth quarter of this one, just were completely had your doors blown off. So Doc Rivers had the worst night out of the two, but it was two bad nights for both of them because Brad Stevens had a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter and had his team gag that away as well. That'll do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the wheels of steel. Thank you. Thanks to Andrew Bogish, the anchor on your headlines this morning. And thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. Be good and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow morning. The Mothership disconnects.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.